Welcome to this week's episode of the Jewish Diaspora Report. On this week's episode, we look into Hamas's purposeful humanitarian crisis. Let's get started. As many listeners of mine have probably heard by now over the last 6 months, there's a humanitarian crisis in Gaza. We've been hearing this pretty much since the beginning of this whole conflict, before the Israelis even stepped foot in Gaza. The talk of humanitarian crisis and the people of Gaza are suffering before even a shot was fired on the side of the Israelis. As those anti-Israel protesters love to bring up constantly, this incident didn't begin on October 7th. Look at the history. Places like Gaza have never really been great places to live and have always had food insecurities and things of that nature. Of course, they like to pretend like that's Israel's fault in the supposed blockade. This, however, has very little to do with why Gaza is the way it is. Clearly, after 6 months of fighting and rockets still being fired by Hamas, watching them steal all of the aid, we can see why Gaza has been the way it has been for the last 18 years under Hamas rule. And that is because Hamas cares little to help the people in Gaza. There are no hospitals being built, no schools being built. After all of the conflicts, the world sends millions and millions of dollars, cement and building materials, infrastructure. They send money that they could use, and all of it goes to terror tunnels, rockets, and terrorism in general. This is why there's been a humanitarian crisis. Needless to say, of course, this doesn't negate the fact that a war in that already terrible place being run by Hamas is obviously not going to make things better. I think what most of my listeners can tell by now, if I haven't mentioned it before, it's pretty obvious to most, is that this humanitarian aid issue and the humanitarian issue in general in Gaza has been used as a PR tool against Israel. It is in Hamas's interest that their people are suffering, because the more their people suffer and the worse people say it is in Gaza, the more they blame Israel for some reason. Everything is Israel's fault. And if we see the fact that Israel is blamed for not being involved in Gaza and bringing them all the things they need and governing them to keep it safe, but they're also blamed for hands off saying, you run your own territory. We're not going to supply you with anything. And people complain about that. It seems like what people want is for Israel to run the territory, keep it safe and make sure they have food and medicine and not allow Hamas to control it, while at the same time not allowing that exact thing to happen. And in fact, protesting that happening. Some commentators have pointed out the fact that before Hamas took over 18 years ago, Gaza was actually run, in theory, by the Israelis, who were making sure that people were safe, making sure that there was no terrorism, and they didn't even need borders. People could cross the border into Israel anytime they wanted. And it ran 10 times smoother and more safe for the Gazan people than any day under Hamas. But whatever the reason might be for the terrible conditions in Gaza, with or without the war, needless to say, there is a crisis in Gaza. There is some debate on who's the cause and where it started and why it's there. But nonetheless, there is a crisis. In this podcast, I'd like to talk about the fact that Hamas has been creating this problem not since October 7th, well before, but they are using it as a weapon and a tool in the PR game to make sure that the pressure is maximized against Israel. And sadly, it's working. We don't often hear about Ukraine and Russia having humanitarian crises. I mean, thankfully, those are much larger countries and they get a lot of support, and the entire area is not necessarily encompassed in war. But nonetheless, we don't hear about the people of Ukraine who are suffering or the humanitarian crisis that this war in Russia is causing. And that is partially, I'd assume, because the leaders of those two countries are not actively attempting to create a humanitarian crisis in order to win the PR war, because they know they will lose the real war. Just imagine right now if Ukraine's president decided to withhold food from his own people in order to create more of a PR stunt of people dying of starvation. Imagine he personally made sure that his army stole all of the goods that were coming into his country from the international world. I would like to think that the world would be up in arms, saying, how dare you? This is a terrible thing to do to your own people. We, of course, wouldn't expect it from a normal country like Ukraine. Whereas in Gaza, that is being led by a terrorist organization that literally torments and tortures its own people. They don't care about the well-being of their own people. To them, their civilian population are human shields and things to be used as weapons for PR. This is why we don't hear about this anywhere else in the world, essentially. No other group or organization that runs a country is happy to kill its own people. That takes next level type terrorist stuff in order to put your own cause above the people that you claim that cause is supposed to be supporting. Recently, we saw the UNRWA, UNRWA, which we've talked about endlessly on this podcast as a corrupt organization that took part in the October 7th massacre. They have come out with a statement claiming there is a severe humanitarian crisis happening in Gaza right now, due specifically to the moving of Palestinian Arabs from place to place in order to get them away from the Hamas terrorists. I just want to point out the absolute irony. If you haven't listened to our podcasts on UNRWA, please go back and listen to them. This is an organization that has been proven over and over again to be in bed with Hamas, run by Hamas, and completely involved in terrorism. And now they're coming out after recently having a close call with losing all of their funding. And now they're coming out to tell us that, oh, there's a humanitarian crisis happening. First of all, why are we believing the PR of Hamas filtered through UN? And second of all, aren't you guys supposed to fix this problem? Where's the millions and millions of dollars that you're getting from the international world going? They like to blame it on Israel, of course, because why not? Everything else is Israel's fault. Israel's moving people. It's so hard to get aid to people when we're moving from place to place. And these poor Palestinian Arabs and Gazans are moving from one place. This is the third time they've had to move. Can we point out the fact that Hamas is the one who enters safe zones on purpose? Israel created safe zones like Rafah at the beginning of the war, saying, Rafah is safe, go there. And many people did, against Hamas's wishes. Hamas tried to stop them. Israel had to open the corridor to allow them to go, and they went. And then Hamas took all of their people into Rafah. Are we going to just leave now because, again, they're using human shields? Or we are going to do the safe thing and ask these people to move to another place and make sure they're safe away from Hamas in order to remove Hamas without civilian casualties? But this is something that UNRWA cannot stand for. They ignore the fact, and by the way, the media is also ignoring the fact, that over 2 weeks ago, Israel and some Arab partners have put together temporary living situations in these new safe areas with tents that are way better than the makeshift stuff they have outside of Rafah that they had to make themselves. These are official tents with doctors on staff, with food being supplied right on the coast with easy access to medical care and food. And yet no one's talking about it. We're asking them to move to a better place than they're in now. And it's like the worst thing that anyone's ever done. How hard would it be for UNRWA, if they weren't corrupt, to go to those places that they know have been set up and set up your food, set up your medicine? But instead, UNRWA is actually pushing to keep people in Rafah because they say it's easier to hand out food in Rafah than it would be at an actual displaced persons camp set up by various countries with proper food and nutrition and medicine. You can see here that UNRWA is playing their game again, trying to help Hamas by keeping people in Rafah, by making sure the pressure stays on Israel to not enter Rafah because of how many civilians are still there. I hate to point out the reality that there is a humanitarian crisis in Rafah while the UNRWA is there, but they want those people to stay there because UNRWA is going to fix the problem now. So needless to say, we can admit that there's obviously some kind of challenges happening in Gaza, whether it's moving people, giving them food, giving them shelter, all of that stuff. No one really seems to ask why. Why is there such a challenge going on in Gaza with aid? You'll hear from the anti-Israel side that Israel's blocking and stopping aid, the most recent events being that Israel finally retook the Rafah border between Rafah and Egypt because it used to be controlled by Hamas, which is how they smuggle in their weapons and choose who comes in, which trucks can come in, and where they go. Israel has now taken it over, and they treat it like it's a bad thing. The media and the world act as though that now that Israel's taken over the southern border, all of a sudden all aid has stopped. No aid can get in. Israel's finally sealed it. Nothing's coming from the north. Nothing's coming from the south. This is a lie. What I'll say is, and we've all seen videos of this, and if you haven't, you can see them all over the internet, Hamas that controlled the Rafah border would get the truck that comes in from Egypt, they would put their armed men on top of them, and they would drive them to their warehouses where they keep all of their goods, and they would sell them to people at massively inflated prices. This is what was happening, and this is why Israel took over Rafah border, so they can now allow all of the trucks in, and it doesn't go to Hamas. If Hamas really cared about the humanitarian crisis and didn't want that to be happening, they would not be stealing trucks and selling that stuff back to people. Apparently, there are stories of UNRWA workers who have houses filled with aid that they can sell at exorbitant prices. The corruption runs really deep. We can see here that Israel is not only solving the problem by sending in aid, but they're even opening up the borders that were being held closed by Hamas. And this can't happen, according to Hamas, because what we saw recently is an even bigger escalation of how they want to stop people from getting aid in order to create a humanitarian crisis. A few weeks ago, stories were coming out about how Hamas targeted purposefully with mortars from Rafah, the American floating port that the Biden administration is having put in. Many of us, including myself, have said how crazy an idea this is, that the U.S. is building a seaport temporary in order to allow aid to come in from Cyprus through boats, which is the quickest way to get it in. However, the problem is most of us with half a brain realize that this doesn't help Hamas's PR, and Hamas will not stand for this. And as we saw, Hamas has now twice or three times shot mortars at the American soldiers who are building that port in order to bring aid in. Why are they doing that? Do they just hate Americans so much that they can't stand them helping? Or is it the fact that they don't want that aid to come in? The aid that's coming in is detrimental to the PR campaign that they are trying to wage by starving their people to have good photos and videos in order to make sure Israel stops their war. And this goes one step further, because they also shot mortar shells at the border crossings with Israel in the north in order to stop those borders from opening with aid. As we see the aid ramping up and the Israeli PR is doing a pretty decent job, not great, but decent job, of how many trucks are going in with fuel, how much medicine's going in. We have stuff coming from Jordan, from Egypt, from all over the Middle East, coming through Israeli ports, in through the border, into Gaza. And Hamas doesn't want that. So Hamas has been shooting mortar shells at the border crossings. They've actually, unfortunately, killed three Israeli soldiers who are at the border in an attempt to destroy the crossing, to not allow trucks to come in. I ask again, for a group that wants humanitarian aid so badly that they're crying out to the world to go protest, we need aid, we're starving here, why are you attacking border crossings that has stuff coming in for your people? If that doesn't clearly show you what their motivation is here, I honestly don't know what does. The reality is people on the anti-Israel side could never hear any of this or believe any of this. But it's true. Their actions on the ground are proof positive that they are trying to starve their people into submission so that way the world will allow them to survive as a terrorist organization who's a government, and they will let everybody die to get that goal. And like I said earlier, it seems to be working. The pressure that is being put on the Israelis right now, especially by the United States, is absolutely unbelievable. They have the most intelligence out of everybody in the entire world. They know what's happening. They know what Israel is doing. They know Hamas is a recognized terrorist organization who cares nothing for its people. And yet, for some reason, they are falling for this BS because of an election? Oh, well, I want to seem like I'm hard on Israel, so I'm going to go against Israel, even though we know what they're doing on the ground? You can argue, sure, is it good to go into Rafah or not go into Rafah, whatever. The fact that Israel is supplying aid that they know is being stolen by the people who are fighting against them, that's like, why not just go and drive a truck right to Hamas's door and say, here you go, here's some weapons, here's some medicine, here's some food for your fighters. Why? Let's cut out the middle person. Let's not even pretend we're going to send it to the people of Gaza. The Americans know it's going directly to Hamas. They're not stupid. And yet, the Americans, for whatever reason, keep pressuring Israel to send more and more and more and more in, and aren't willing to call out Hamas for what they're doing. And they're going even further to condemn Israel and to apparently start to threaten Israel and say, we're not going to supply you with weapons for your offensive in Rafah. We've talked about this on the podcast before, the idea that the more that United States turns its back on Israel for political points, the more Hamas digs their feet in and realizes this is working. I should starve our people even more. I should shoot rockets at another border crossing. Let's make sure there's more humanitarian crisis so that way I can put even more pressure on the Americans to do something about this. They are praising those stupid kids on campuses that know nothing about what's going on in the Middle East. And they're praising them because they realize that is the greatest tool they've ever had. Americans who are pressuring their government to do what a terrorist organization wants. Meanwhile, laughing their butts off at the fact that these people are apparently supporting a terrorist organization who are killing its own people, the same people that the people who are protesting claim to care about. It is completely backwards, and they are for sure laughing at how stupid these people are. In the end, the humanitarian crisis that we've been hearing about since literally the beginning of this war, they're going to run out of food, they're going to run out of gasoline, there's going to be no electricity, people are going to die. We've literally been hearing that, no joke, since week two, 6 months ago. And yet, amazingly, Hamas is still firing rockets, still holding up in Rafah. People are not necessarily starving to death, although it's not a great situation because of Hamas. On somewhat of a side note, when I talk about these crises, I don't want anyone to think that I don't care. I know I'm somewhat cold and factual, and I know there are people who are involved in the Gaza situation that don't deserve to be starved to death by their own government. Interestingly, after last week's podcast, I received a very angry message from someone who was a follower, and I won't use any names, but I don't want to out them, so I won't give any more information. This person actually called me out, claiming that, according to her, there are zero innocent Gazans and we shouldn't be calling them innocent people. She told me that I should be ashamed of myself and then followed up by blocking me in order to make sure that I can't respond to her message. So if she listens to this podcast, I will say when we're talking about the issues of a humanitarian crisis, I do believe that there are some innocent people who are not involved in this situation. What I would have pointed out to her if she hadn't blocked me is to say that there are innocent children in Gaza. Not to say that Israel's the one bombing them like the anti-Israel people like to talk about. The reality is Hamas is using those children as starving human shields and a PR weapon, allowing them to die in order to get a good photo, in order to affect the hearts of campuses all over the United States. But the reality is a kid who's being born doesn't hate. They don't understand hate and how to hate a Jew. That's something that's learned, unfortunately, thanks to UNRWA and their parents. And I wanted to point out to this person that many of us have been so disturbed to see posters on New York City sidewalks and around the world and on the internet saying that, quote, Israeli babies are oppressors too, justifying the murder of babies on October 7th. And if we aren't going to be hypocrites, we cannot say that their children deserve to die because they are not innocent. Whereas we expect our children to not be killed because our children are innocent. It's a hypocrisy that I just can't stand for. We cannot allow ourselves to lower our standards to their standards. We can't sit here and say that babies deserve to die because Hamas is terrible and therefore they deserve to die. That's just not something any of us should stand for. Just like we call them out for saying that it's valid to kill babies because they are, quote, oppressors as Israelis. So for that former follower who decided to block and never talk to us again, I'm fine with it. I really don't care. I really don't care for people who apparently suggest that babies anywhere in the world deserve to be harmed by terrorist organizations. But what I will say is that these unfortunate people, including babies and young people who have not been brainwashed, and even some adults, unfortunately far too few, that will stand up against Hamas and what they're doing to their own people. Because we can never forget that Hamas is to blame for this, and they are creating a purposeful humanitarian crisis in their own region, killing their own people in order to get a PR win and stopping the Israelis from being able to exact revenge against those who perpetrated October 7th, the people of Hamas. This has been another episode of the Jewish Diaspora Report. Don't forget to check us out on social media at jdr.podcast. And check out some of our other episodes on your favorite podcast source. We'll see you next time.